Welcome back to Heroin, Butt Sex, and Lord of the Rings. We are here again on a windy day in Los Angeles. We are joined, as always, by Sean Keane. How are you, Sean?
I'm good. How are you doing, Richie?
Doing just great. And our special guest today is Annie Hardy from Giant Drag.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
It's lovely to have you here. Her amazing band, Giant Drag. Annie, is that going to keep going, Giant Drag, or are you solo now?
I'm solo now because it's not the same band.
And gotcha.
Yeah, and I don't really relate as much to myself from early aughts at this point. So now I'm just solo, and I'll be alone forever probably.
Not if we have anything to do with Annie. You can come on here anytime.
Thank you.
Annie also has
okay. Periscope's number one live improvised music show broadcast from a moving vehicle.
I see.
So by those standards, it is number one in its own right. It's me improvising, freestyling.
I see.
It's called Band Car.
And,
And on Periscope, the viewers write in words, and I incorporate it into song while I'm making a beat and driving my car.
You're driving too?
Yes.
It's incredible.
It's number one.
It's number one in its own right, yeah.
Annie's new song is called So Bad on Full Psycho Records. Annie Hardy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
We are going to tackle two songs today. They're both very challenging. Both of them are about heroin, butt sex, or Lord of the Rings, or perhaps even a combination of both. Our first song of the week is Epic by Faith No More. Written by Michael Andrew Borden, Roddy Christopher Bottom, Bill Gould, James Blanco Martin, and Mike Patton, 1989. In case you can't get to them to read them yourself, here are the lyrics. Can you feel it, see it, hear it today? If you can't, then it doesn't matter anyway. You will never understand because it happens too fast. And it feels so good, it's like walking on glass. It's so cool, it's hip, it's all right. It's so groovy, it's out of sight. You can touch it, smell it, taste it so sweet, but it makes no difference because it knocks you off your feet. You want it all, but you can't have it. It's crying, bleeding, lying on the floor, so you lay down on it and you do it some more. You've got to share it, so you dare it, then you bear it and you tear it.
Ouch.
You want it all, but you can't have it. It's in your face, but you can't grab it. It's alive, afraid, a lie, a sin. It's magic. It's tragic. It's a loss. It's a win. It's dark. It's moist. It's a bitter pain. It's sad. It happened, and it's a shame. You want it all, but you can't have it. It's in your face, but you can't grab it. What is it? And then this is disputed. I dispute it anyway. It's either is it or it's it. What do you guys think? Is it?
It's it.
I've always heard it as it's it. Yeah.
Yeah, they reported it as is it.
No, that's some Mandela effect shit right there.
Yeah, I'm going with it's it, but
it's kind of more of a syllogism if it's it, too.
What's yeah.
That, what's this out word mean?
Well, just like it's like defines it, the statement that kind of defines itself, basically. Mm. So it's like, what is it? It's it. It's like a koan.
Right. Really, it is in the Zen Koan world where it's or I am that am.
Yeah.
But it also a lot of that comes from mistranslations and, you know, migration of words around through history. But it's either what is it, or what is it, repeated a bunch of times. And then you want it all, but you can't have it. It's in your face, but you can't grab it. Those are the lyrics. So what do you guys think? Are you guys leaning any particular way? Because I'm going to start a new practice on this show, which is that I'm going to like describe my tolerances. You know what I mean? Like where I can see. I mean, we did this little
bit. Oh, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Rather than like have it be a surprise where I'm like, slam, it's this.
Right.
I can definitely see all three. I think that the butt sex thing is the least possible. I think that both Lord of the Rings and heroin are a little more doable, but I can see all three. If anybody has like a strong case at the beginning,
mine's kind of strong.
Okay.
I strongly believe that this song is about both heroin and butt sex.
Heroin and butt sex.
Yeah. When I've been telling people that I'm coming on this podcast, I've been failing to use a comma between heroin and butt sex.
Oh, I see.
And so, you know, it looks like it says heroin butt sex, like the kind of butt sex you have on heroin.
Right, okay. Right. Okay.
For a second, I thought that might be it. But no, I think definitely this is a double entendre song about both butt sex and heroin equally. As a songwriter and someone with extensive field research in both heroin and butt sex department, I feel like I just intuitively lyrically know that this is about both.
So this is Annie is our first sort of... we've had many guests on the show who have written songs who are very good singing songs and this and that and the other thing, but you are our first guest who is primarily known as someone who writes songs and is a musician.
I have like a clear channel situation where I just channel in songs from another dimension. And so I can observe other people's songs and kind of get a real feel for what they're about. And a lot of my fellow songwriter friends have been shocked when I tell them what I think their shit's about.
And they're like, oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
Have you seen that scene in Be Cool, the sequel to Get Shorty, where, what's his name? John Travolta's character, Chili Palmer. Hunts down Steven Tyler from Aerosmith at a Lakers game. And he tells him that Sweet Emotion is about the birth of his daughter. And in the fiction of the story, Steven Tyler completely agrees and gives them the rights to the song for the film that Chili Palmer is producing. Like, he tells him what his own song is about. And Steven Tyler, in the inside of the fiction, is like, oh my God, you're right. So that's what you're saying that you have accomplished.
Yeah, basically, pretty much. I mean, because songs are like, you know, in ancient Roman times, they used to call inspiration daemon, which to me sounds a lot like demon. And there's demons and angels everywhere.
The muse, etc.
Yeah, and they inspire you, and they are the ones writing the songs. You can't even really take credit for it. And wouldn't you know, most demons and Satan himself are extremely obsessed with butt sex and love.
Like in a chill way or like in a...
butt sex is never that chill, you know? If you've ever had like copious amounts of butt sex, you might find yourself seeing an African woman with a basket on her head in your third eye. And that's how you know. That's, you know what? Chill. This is not that chill. This might be a witchcraft spirit of some sort. But big supporter of both heroin and butt sex.
Okay.
I don't know what the devil's stance on Lord of the Rings is, but I would imagine he's pro anything that's a movie in general.
He's into films.
He's a film buff.
So, I mean, as far as butt sex and heroin, I think they're both there. I have a really complicated case in as it relates to butt sex that I could go into. And there's also a ton of evidence for the song with heroin. Sean, do you have evidence on either of those cases? We can get into Lord of the Rings later.
I don't really have a Lord of the Rings angle, which is very rare for me on this show.
I do.
I went initially, I was very butt sex, especially you get to the end. It's dark, it's moist, it's a bitter pain.
Yeah.
And the other thing that made me think of it is that they constantly say, okay, so what is it? It's it. Mm-hmm. Now, these guys are a San Francisco band.
Like a euphemism?
No. It's more straight down the middle. If you are from San Francisco, you know that San Francisco has one distinct, like, local ice cream treat. And it's it, which is... two cookies with ice cream in the middle.
I'm familiar. I've never even lived on the Rock in San Francisco. I'm familiar with
that.
That's what I always think about when I hear this song is
It's it. And I'm just like, oh, that would be good right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just so that for some reason is butt sex related.
Well, because it's like it's a sandwich, there's chocolate coating,
it's a euphemism, you know,
it's cream between two kind of sandwich things. And that was the one that really drove it in. I feel like the stuff at the start, I buy into your double entendre heroin because I was sort of caught between them because I feel like the beginning is extremely heroin and the end is much more butt sex.
I totally agree.
So, you know, just talking about walking on glass, but, okay. knocking you off your feet. That's really more heroin.
Yeah.
Not so much butt sex.
But it's rare that you have butt sex standing up. I mean, one party usually might be standing up, and the other one's knocked off their feet onto the
but
bed.
But if it's in your face, but you can't grab it, what is more grabbable than a butt?
Well, you can't grab the act of butt sex.
But basically, yeah, you get to crying, bleeding, lying on the floor is where it gets more ambiguous. Because I think when they get to, you have to share it so you dare it. Either you're raw dogging or you're sharing needles at that point. But either way,
the HIV virus if you're a bug chaser in San Francisco.
And so, yeah, you bear it and you tear it. Again, very ambiguous.
This is a lot of butt sex, stuff there. I mean, lying on the floor, there's bleeding. There's, but I don't get the share it, dare it. You're saying
AIDS reference.
This is 89.
The thing that ultimately sort of pushed me a little closer to heroin was just remembering the video.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they spend so much time on that goldfish.
Yeah.
Just gasping for air. And for me, that was like, oh, you're, this is more of like a primal critique. Need and like,
right.
It's withdrawal from water, you know?
Right. Right.
So like, as it pertains to heroin, am I looking at this? I will say that is, I think, the strongest piece of evidence is the goldfish flopping around.
But if you've ever had, like, extensive butt sex, that's kind of what you do afterwards, too. Trying to catch your breath. Like, flopping what around. Just happened? Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I mean, and also that goldfish has a big problem that often happens with butt sex, which is that things are just way too dry.
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, this, okay, so on the heroin thing. Okay, so there was a rivalry around this time, especially after this song, between Kiedis and Patton.
Understandably so.
Kiedis sort of casually said, like, yeah, he stole my whole fucking style. Mm. Which,
he kind
fair
did.
Enough. Yeah. I think this is a little bit of a smarter band than the Chili Peppers. I'm not dissing on the Chili Peppers. I love the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
You do?
Yeah, certain eras, like Mother's Milk and some of that stuff. It was big. I love it. And both bands say, like, it's not that big a deal. And Patton is not, like, Patton is much more straight-laced, much more, like, Patton actually said, maybe, this is half-joking, but it's like, how could you joke and then say this? He says, I just think that Anthony knows I'm a better dancer than he is, and maybe he could dance as well as me if he stopped doing so many drugs. So this is a critique of that era's bands getting on heroin, you know, like there were all these bands, like great bands, and all these people who were just like getting their asses kicked and dying on heroin. So it's sort of like the it in the song is like heroin. It's like, and he's, the whole song is very like tongue in cheek or feels taunting and satiric. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he's sort of saying like, look, it's so cool. He's like, it's so hip, it's all right. Like, he's going like, this is satire. He's going like, no, it's not. You guys are fucking killing yourself, as evidenced by the goldfish at the end of the video and this elegiac sort of outro that it does. Beautiful, beautiful piece. But
it's like the Who's, like, my generation was like about people who are all doing like cocaine or something, and that's why they, you know, people trying to put us down.
Yeah. It's kind of, I kind of see that case being like that, like Mike Patton's straight edge over here being like, you shitheads are dying and it bothers me, actually. You know what I mean? Like, just sort of being like, get your shit together, everybody.
Yeah,
kind of vibe.
But like, the more people did heroin, it seems the more successful they were. Like, look at Red Hot Chili Peppers is still maybe one of the biggest bands in the world. I actually tried out to be Anthony Kiedis' nanny once.
Oh, I'm very glad you did not get that.
I am too, yeah.
I mean, it was probably like once he was like fine. I've seen him in Venice. He seems like very normal and boring. Yeah. I mean, not boring, but you know what I mean.
He's totally
chilled out. I think he's made it through the...
He's weathered the storm.
Yeah. Any other heroin stuff, or should we get, because I also have a pretty beefy butt case, or
I mean, inherently I'm always thinking but for Mike Patton, just because he has a band that is Mr. Bungle, which is very close to being Mr. Bunghole.
It is very
and
close.
It feels yes. like the kind of joke he would make as well.
Yeah, he's a real jokey,
like a real like Oscar Wilde kind of thing.
Totally. Well, there's a lot of random people who are just like stuck on butt sex. And like that's all, I mean, the every fiber of their being like resonates with butt sex. They don't even need to do it on purpose. And it's just they weave butt sex into everything they do.
Yeah. Well, I think in any venue, like you get to the extreme, there's going to be people who are just going to go there, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
What do you think about the title of the song?
I have no clue. I hadn't thought about that. I mean, that would make it Lord of the Rings.
That was what made me initially, and then I was like, I just couldn't find very much personally.
All right, do you
have a Lord of the Rings?
Let me hit you with the Lord of the Rings thing here. And then maybe we can briefly go through the entire, because I have this list of like, because some of this song almost seems like the Sphinx's riddle, you know, where it's like, what is it? It's this and it's that. Those don't seem to go together, do they?
It walks on two legs in the morning and yeah.
Exactly. It feels like that. It's like he gives it so many descriptors and then you're like, well, what is it? And then there's no answer, obviously, in the song other than, I mean, maybe in the video they might try to answer it. So here's the Lord of the Rings case. This is just evangelism for Lord of the Rings in general as a Lord of the Rings fan.
Okay.
So it's not baked inside of Lord of the Rings. This is a Lord of the Rings fan who I have no doubt that Mike Patton has read Lord of the Rings. Such a dork. I'm sure he's just up drinking coffee at like 3 a.m, like reading books and shit like that. Love the guy. So, I mean, if you go through all the words that are used to describe it. So what I'm saying is it in the song is the Lord of the Rings trilogy or the entire Tolkien compendium. And there's no word that you can throw out there that doesn't describe Lord of the Rings, obviously, because it's such a big story. You can feel it, see it, hear it. It's exclusive. It's fast. It's pleasurable. It's painful. It's cool. It's groovy. It's you can feel it. You can smell it. You can even then, you know, like obviously you want to take it out there. You can smell a book, you know. Or if the story is that amazing, then you can smell the smells described by the author, you know. You're lying on the floor reading the book. You try to share it with your friends. And at the end, you know, like you tear it because you read it so much. Now you buy a new copy.
Bearing it's like you rip the cover off that thing.
Oh, yeah. No, this is like it's by that point, it's like part of your body, you know. And therefore it's moist, you know, because you've been carrying it against your body. You know, what is it? It's the trilogy, and you're just evangelizing for it. And at the end, it's like the hardest part is, well, there's two really hard parts. One is, for any interpretation, the two hardest parts, as far as I know, are you want it all, but you can't have it. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it would be you want to live in Middle Earth, but you're just reading it at your mom's house, uh-huh, uh-huh. And you're 24, and you really need to get a job.
You're never going to be able to become an elf at that point.
It's not going to happen. You're in the human world, and you're never going to be able to disappear completely inside of Lord of the Rings. You want it, but you can't have it. The other hardest part is it's sad, it happened, and it's a shame. That's like the toughest line.
Uh-huh. Well, actually, when I was 11 or 12 in fifth grade, however old you are, they made us read Lord of the Rings.
And probably The Hobbit, I bet.
The Hobbit, yeah. Whatever. And after I was done reading it, I felt really sad that it was over.
Exactly.
Well, and it does go hand in hand with the melancholy of, you know, like all the people that got seriously depressed that they couldn't live in the Avatar world after seeing that movie.
Sure.
I didn't know that was a thing, but
it's,
sure.
Not that respectable a mental illness, but it definitely was.
Right.
Therapists were talking about that.
Yeah, and people will have mental breakdowns and go to jail because, like, the World of Warcraft or, like, servers offline for half an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It's like the world that you want to live in, but you can't.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? So I think that goes with Lord of the Rings.
The only thing that bumps for me in that is the kind of like real visceral stuff, like the smell, the darkness, the moistness.
Right, but
that feels like it doesn't quite match for me.
If you're reading it in a dungeon, maybe that's the kind of
probably.
Most people. Yeah.
But also, you're in dungeons in the book. That's what I'm saying. Like you're projecting yourself into the book for this for the duration, and then when it ends, you're like, you can't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. There's just, but also you like lay down on it and do it some more. I'm not sure what.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess reading the book on the floor.
Maybe it's about Lord of the Rings and butt sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's my butt sex. That's my Lord of the Rings case.
I would think it would be about the ring itself, because it's in your face, but you can't grab it. Because, if you grab it, right, something bad happens, you turn dark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's a good interpretation, too. Like, it's right there.
Yeah, and then you've got that double meaning of, it says bear it, B-A-R-E, but what do they call someone who carries the ring? That's a ring bearer.
And
yeah.
What do they call a big, hairy gay man? That's a bear.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now we're back in butt sex.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you again with another hot one here.
And
then we can go in the butt sex realm here. So, this is just a simple matter of pronoun replacement, which happens when you get into some real gimp stuff. Okay, where you're such a sub that they put you in a suit, you have no name anymore.
No arms even. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you have no arms, exactly. Like you're tied up and you're just being used as a thing, an object. So the it would be, in this case, is the you from earlier in the song. I might get this wrong because it was yesterday when I thought of the...
It's like you. Is it like edging? Like you want the whole orgasm, but you can't have it. Mm-hmm. So you're not allowed.
Okay, so here's where it gets easy to transpose this. It's crying, bleeding, lying on the floor. That's you now.
Mm-hmm. When it says, it's okay.
It is.
It
you.
Puts the lotion in the basket.
Exactly.
Or it gets the hose again.
Right. This is the kind of reference that it's talking about. It's crying, bleeding, lying on the floor. So you lay down on it and you do it some more. In this case, you means one, meaning anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So lays down on you, the gimp, and then that person does the gimp some more?
Right, meaning somebody is going to lay down on it and do it some more. In this case, it means you, the listener, the gimp. So now you are the gimp. But the song is referring to you as it.
But then when it says you, it means not you.
Anybody.
The general it.
Whoever paid the ticket to get into the club.
So someone's got to share you, so they dare you.
Yes.
Mm.
Then somebody's going to bear you.
That's
and
the bear down
they will the tear you.
Yep. Ouch.
Exactly. So it's like the it, like if you achieve like maximum sub level, then you are not you. You don't refer to that to yourself as you. Other people refer to you as it. Right. So that's like what's going on. And then the what is it? It's like, who's that? It's the you. It's who the speaker is speaking to in the song. But it's you, the listener, who has now become the hyper gimp.
And you've been so trained that there's a chorus of voices just going, it's it.
And you're like,
not
yes.
I'm it.
Oh,
it is it.
It's like it's breaking down your sense of self. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's hyper self objectification that's going on.
So that line is basically gimp is gimp.
Gimp is gimp. Right.
It puts the lotion in the basket. Or right.
But even then it's not quite exactly butt sex because it's just anything.
But I'm sure it gets to that. It always does.
I mean, we're definitely dealing with some butt sex here in this gimp situation. I'm willing to make that.
But it's like it's alive. It's afraid. It's a lie. It's a sin. Like these are all the things that people are saying to you while they're slapping you around. You get compassion and you get brutalization in this. Mm-hmm. Within the same 10 minutes.
Yeah. It's sad. It's sad it happened. The Gimp is sad that this happened, and the Gimp is ashamed.
Yeah.
Or like, and ashamed.
Right, but that, I mean, in that setting, it's not negative.
No, I mean, it's they're bringing, it's the like, point.
Sexual shame.
That's what you came for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You're being shamed, you're being praised, you're being slapped around, you're being, all those sorts of things. Uh-huh. So it's just a weird word replacement thing that he transitions into from the beginning. That's my strongest butt case.
butt case. I still think that part is about the ice cream sandwich. I didn't know they're from San Francisco, but now I know it's got to have something to do with that ice cream.
And I mean, that's like, you're like buying a hit of dopamine, basically, with that. It's him, you know.
Is ice cream that's in the middle like mint chip, or is it all different flavors?
You can get a bunch of different things. Oh, okay. I like the, it's like a mocha flavored one. It's very good.
I love It's It. Yeah. What do you feel
like is strongest?
I think it's the heroin butt sex combo.
It's a combo.
But then towards the end here, I'm sort of feeling the Lord of the Rings thing. So maybe it's all three. The thing is, okay, here this kind of relates. I'm in like this cult, right? AA, okay. It's called. Mm-hmm. And the other week, to my surprise, a BDSM couple came and spoke at a meeting.
Okay.
The man walked his wife into the meeting on a dog chain and collar. And you know, what would be maybe 10 years ago seen as perversion, he's like, the length of the chain represents how far away from me she can get before I miss her. Just, it was a bunch of bullshit. And I think he was a complete narcissist. But I'm saying that, like, whenever you want, you can make anything about anything, really. So it's hard with songs because, like, really, did this guy even know what he was writing about? If it was, you know, a divine channeling, he's just the meat vessel that receives this song that only the demon who wrote it knows if it's about heroin butt sex or Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly describing the only reason this show is even possible.
Well, totally, because truth is like subjective or something.
Yeah. I feel like it's hard to ignore the butt sex elements, but I really like the theory that this is a somewhat sarcastic, because it's kind of so positive. It's almost like a teasing. Mock rap, and that makes me really feel like it's heroin.
I kind of think, in a way, too, just because he's so snarky, there's something like so like sort of snarky, like he's like making fun of like someone in particular that he wants to watch this.
Yeah, like Anthony Kiedis.
And I can't imagine him being exactly that kind of snarky about butt sex.
Yeah.
Right. What would be his like motivation, or what's his, because he's not like dumb and he's a good artist, but like what would be his motivation to be like?
What's the guy's name? Roddy Bottom in the band?
That is a correct. I had no idea there was someone named Roddy Bottom.
Roddy Christopher Bottom.
That actually sounds like
a
serious butt case if you've got a Roddy Bottom. Yeah.
And it's, if it's rotting, then you know, you've been having a lot of butt sex for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I really like the wordplay if it was about like BDSM, like GIMP stuff. I do think, and the Lord of the Rings interpretation as sort of like a basement dweller going like, Lord of the Rings is cool. It's fun, but I do think it just like that, like that snark element really kind of leads me back to the heroin thing, because Mike Patton is like anti, you know, he's like super sharp. He's like, I mean, he might have been a coke dude or whatever. He seems more like a coke dude, you know.
My friend Guy, shout out Guy Blakesley, entrance band, said that this song's about heroin.
He said it's about heroin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like if you were going to make a song like, and put on, I mean, this is their biggest hit by far. And you were going to make a song about something, but you couldn't say the something, you know, would that be Lord of the Rings? I doubt it. You could say Lord of the Rings. No one's going to like bleep you for that.
I mean, but like Led Zeppelin never said, oops, Lord of the Rings.
And they said enough.
They gave some strong hints. Yeah.
Yeah.
They said Gollum or something.
Gollum, the evil one.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, butt sex, you can kind of like refer to it. I want to be your backdoor man. You know, referencing Led Zeppelin again. You know, you can, there's plenty of terms you can use to make more close reference to butt sex than are used in this song.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of agree with you, Sean, that that all leads me to think that this may actually well be about heroin and him trolling all the other bands in his sort of class for doing heroin.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Also, what do most epics have? A heroine, right?
Hey! Yeah. Our second song of the podcast today is Save the Last Dance, written by Doc Pomus and Mart Schumann, 1960. This was performed by the Drifters, vocals by Ben E. King. I went all over the map with this song in terms of like my standard impression of what it's about, and then like my suspicions about it, and then like those got reversed and got reversed again.
Really?
Yeah, because this is usually thought of as this very sweet song, mm-hmm, about this couple, and like they have a lovely relationship. They're allowed to do whatever they want, but they're so in love, they're going to come together at the end of the night and go home. Mm-hmm. But then also I thought like this is kind of like pimpish or like a little controlling. You know, where he's like, yeah, do whatever you want, but when it snap, you come get your little ass back here and we're going home. Which can be kinky or it can be bad. Well, first of all, let's just do the lyrics and then I'll get back to the interpretation. Okay. Here are the lyrics to Save the Last Dance by Doc Pomus and Mort Schumann. You can dance every dance with the guy who gave you the eye. Let him hold you tight. You can smile every smile for the man who held your hand neath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So, darling, save the last dance for me. Mmm. Oh, I know that the music is fine, like sparkling wine. Go and have your fun. Laugh and sing. But while we're apart, don't give your heart to anyone. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So, darling, save the last dance for me. Mmm. Baby, don't you know I love you so? Can't you feel it when we touch? I will never, never let you go. I love you oh so much. You can dance, go and carry on till the night is gone and it's time to go. If he asks if you're all alone, can he take you home? You must tell him no. Because don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're going to be. So, darling, save the last dance for me. And so forth. So, you know what I'm saying with this? With the sort of like...
Well, there's a feeling that either it's like pimpish and it's also a little bit cuckoldy, right?
Cuckoldy.
Because he clearly wants to be like this, what he's describing is so much his fantasy, where it's like, oh yeah, that guy's gonna be looking at you. Oh, he's gonna try to fuck you. He's asking if you are gonna be home. And it feels very constructed. It's from the singer's like fantasy, and it's like, well, you're going to come home with me eventually, after I've been cucked and you've filmed it for me. You know,
okay. Yeah.
Because once it gets like, at first it's kind of like, oh, I see you at the dance, I see you. But once it's, if he asks if you're all alone, can he take you home? You must tell him no. Right. That is some like multi-level psychological stuff going on. But it's pure. It seems like it's purely for him.
You know, you wouldn't have to tell some, like, your lover that they can't go home with someone else.
Well, if you like to watch them almost get, you know, won over by other guys. Well, my whole idea was, like, when you're really entrenched in some serious shit relationship, like, you want to take that butt virginity. You take her butt virginity so you know that, like, you know... You're saving the last dance for me because I already fucked your ass. You got nowhere to go from here. It's all your butt virginity's gone. I own you.
Sure. Okay. So you think the butt is the last dance?
The butt is the last dance.
So this is like, so for instance, if you go out with someone, if you're out and about with someone with whom you're sleeping, it doesn't matter what they do because I know what they want and they want me. You know, that's pretty simple. But then there's the question of why they want you. You know, why... Does the subject of the song reliably come back to the speaker. The speaker doesn't seem nervous at all.
It's because he took her butt-ginity, and it's like she's a ruined woman now.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I was looking at that same thing from a slightly different perspective, which is just that if she went home with someone else, the chances that whoever she or whoever the speaker, because it could be a man, they never mentioned the gender of the mm-hmm. subject, the lover or the subject of the song, is just not going to get from any random man, because they do specify the men that the mm-hmm. subject is meeting. They're not going to get what the speaker of the song is going to give to them. There's no real danger because, like, nobody's going to do you like that. Because
nobody did anal back in the 60s.
Exactly. Yeah. So that would be that the speaker of the song is well-trained in the butt arts
right.
and is just going to give the subject that. So that's a, sort of like, it's not a collar on a chain. It's just, well, I know you're coming back to me because mm-hmm. cause
I give up that good butt love.
I used to live abroad. I know some things.
Some butt things. Yeah.
I'm just saying that's the 60s. Yeah.
Right.
Where do you think butt sex originated?
I don't know. You got me.
I would almost think like it's more likely to have started in a colder climate.
Because people's vaginas froze shut.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's also one of those things. It's like sort of like the wheel. It was invented like 1,000 times.
Yeah, right, by everyone. Right. Like the collective unconscious all yeah, like uh-huh. had the same idea. Like, this bitch is on her period. Like, what's up with this hole?
Right. It's the same way that like people invented haircuts.
Right.
You know, man. It's like, well, I have hair. I have scissors.
Right.
There you go. Haircuts.
Yeah.
My take on this actually is that it's a Lord of the Rings song.
Okay.
I think this is Gollum addressing the ring. So there's just a couple things. Like, he starts off and says, you can dance every dance with the guy who gave you the eye. The eye is, of course, the symbol of Sauron, the sure. Dark Lord.
Gotcha.
Then he talks about holding his hand.
Annie, if you want to, like, go take a nap
yeah.
in the living room right now, it's okay. Yeah.
But just a lot of clues that show that, you know, Doc Pomus and Mort Schumann were familiar with the books. But basically, it's all about Gollum knowing he's not the possessor of the ring, and he believes in his heart that it's going to come back to him eventually.
I'm kind of with you, Sean, but can I bump in? Because my interpretation is very close, and maybe we can
solve them
together
please.
Here.
Yeah,
I'm thinking more it's like Sauron talking to the ring.
Oh,
and okay. The last dance is Dag Daggeroth.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do think that the ring as the subject of the song... I just dispute a little bit on the speaker of the song because I don't know why, because there's this sort of confidence in the speaker where he seems sort of relaxed, like, I know you're going to come back to me.
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely very confident. I think maybe I was influenced because the song is by the Drifters and Gollum is the ultimate drifter.
He is.
Yeah. Just okay. like no home, wandering around a lot.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, that's also strong because there's a certain stretch of time where Sauron's not even looking for the ring.
Right.
And there is a sense where Gollum is more of an actively jealous boyfriend to the ring, you know.
Right. Gollum is not, you know, he panics when the ring is...
He's more of like, hey, that guy was looking at you.
He has very insecure attachment. Like,
right, whereas Sauron is sort of like, I don't know where the ring is. It'll come back.
No one else can really use it. I'll get it. Yeah.
Yeah, and if they do, like, they can't really handle it.
Yeah, he's like, I'll send my boys, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, but I just think that Dag Daggeroth as the last dance I think the only question is, will the ring exist again at Dag Daggeroth? You know what I mean? Because I think we understand that it's sort of like a time cube in a sense where everything comes back at Dag Daggeroth.
Do you want to explain what Dag Daggeroth is for the listeners?
So, yeah, thank you, Sean. So Dag Daggeroth is sort of like the equivalent of, I think, sort of something like Ragnarok in Norse mythology, which is sort of like the culmination of sort of the end of the universe or the end of everything. And it's not necessarily like that there's going to be a winner necessarily. It's just that everything is going to come back and come back together. And then the idea is that Ilúvatar is the only thing that will continue on into the next incarnation of the universe.
A what?
Iluvatar, the creator of the universe.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Right, God. Yeah, God will sing, start a new song. You know, he tried three times and like Middle Earth was the best he came up with. But even that is just an attempt. He can always start over again, which he did twice already. Mm-hmm. So Dag Daggeroth is sort of the battle, in a sense, at the end of time that will shut down the story will have been told.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the only question about that is whether the ring, because I think that Sauron will definitely exist at that time. The question is whether the ring will exist at that time, mm-hmm. having been destroyed. I don't know.
I'm trying in my head to put this up against like basic Christian belief sets of the end of the world, revelations.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not really a ring in the Bible, is there? Or maybe it's Jesus. Because Jesus is a lot to handle. If you put that ring of Jesus on, all of a sudden the world fucking hates you and like everything starts going wrong. Can you handle it? If not, you're going to go to hell. And I heard that Middle Earth is like a thing. And there's like those giant elf people. There's a healthy sort of like a terrarium inside the earth where all these, you know, sentient beings live. And they're just like, hey.
Sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, is the Incredible Hulk real?
No. Are you comparing Jesus to the Incredible Hulk or the giant elves in the center of the earth?
You wouldn't like Jesus when he's angry.
You wouldn't because he will bring some wrath.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's like Universal City Walk, right? You have like Spider-Man and Jesus.
Totally.
And Frodo.
Yeah, I guess there's room for everyone.
Yeah, hopefully.
But, you know, I think it might be real because... But, you know, aren't these elf people in Lord of the Rings like really tall, some of them? Like the Steven Tyler's daughter ones?
Aren't they taller than men?
They're giants. So. Yeah. They're giants. And are they the same ones that live in the center of the earth?
No, I mean, nobody lives in the center of the earth.
Oh, they just called that whole place Middle Earth.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There are, like, underground places, but it's just dwarves mining there, basically. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Elves pretty much live in forests in Middle Earth.
Forest,
yeah. Very well, then. I was going to say, they sound like the, what do they call them? The Nephilim from the Bible, the half-human, half-angel hybrid people, which is what a lot of people suspect Rh-negative people to be. Like, I can't get pregnant by a Rh-positive man without medical intervention during the pregnancy. Right.
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
So there's two races of people on Earth.
They should set up a dating site for that.
They did.
If it's, like, impossible.
RhNegativeDatingRegistry.com.
Wow.
I refuse to get a profile because I feel like that's just the government setting us up to take us out. All the American presidents are Rh-negative, the royal family, etc. onward.
Well, it sounds pretty good because then you don't have to just do butt sex for the specific purpose of avoiding pregnancy.
You can do it for the love.
Yeah,
you can just do it for a lot of fun. Here's what I want to throw out there. This is the fascinating thing that I discovered in sort of researching this song, and I mentioned it to you, Annie, is that this guy, Doc Pomus, he came into the songwriting game really early, obviously, since this is 1960. He had polio.
Mm.
And by the time he got married, he was in a wheelchair. And this song came out close thereafter. And he's also one of the he's one of the early producers that gave Lou Reed his start. Like, this Doc Pomus is almost single-handedly responsible for Lou Reed's first recordings.
Who loved heroin.
Yeah, who loved heroin. But it's fascinating. And when Doc Pomus was brought into the Songwriting Hall of Fame, Lou Reed was there and described how Doc Pomus was in a wheelchair at his own wedding and wrote this song about that experience.
Oh, and like, watching my wife...
Oh.
Dance with all these other men, something I can't do, but save the last dance for me, which is when
we
with the use of some medical devices.
Right, which is kind of anti-butt sex, you know what I mean? Although you could imagine, like, if you were, like, if you had some sort of, you know,
That guy must have a huge dick.
Perceived deficit of some kind. Like, I can't dance, but I'm going to, you know, jam it in your ass.
What was the reason he was in a wheelchair?
Polio.
Oh, so he wasn't paralyzed. He just...
No.
Yeah, weak leg. So I could... I think that that works in the butt sex framework. Where
totally.
I think you're more likely to explore in an area where you can still really assert yourself.
And it's better if the woman sort of is in control of the butt sex. Otherwise, definitely. It can be, you know, painful.
Yeah. So, I mean, but in terms of like, I mean, obviously it's a romantic relationship and it's not like just because they're going home together doesn't in particular mean that there's any butt sex involved. I just like, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of a reach to be like, well, where exactly in this song is the butt sex?
The butt sex happens after the song ends.
Right. But why, I mean, but there's no evidence, about, you know, there's not that much evidence. Like, why wouldn't it just be sex?
Because they're married and sex gets boring, so you got to put it in her ass sometimes.
I mean, right? I buy into Last Dance being the butt. That's it's the closer.
That's why you get married. In the 1960, like, that is why you spend money on a ring so you can penetrate that butthole.
Hygienically,
it's the last.
It should
thing.
Be the last. Right. Dance,
don't go back
right?
and forth.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, never
but,
back to front.
But that would almost imply, by that logic, if the last dance is butt sex, then the previous dances would be regular sex, and then they're at this. Now we're in this really kinky world.
Well, yeah, I mean that's
where they're at this party, and the subject of the song is sleeping with all these men, and now is returning to the speaker for the final thing, which is butt sex. It seems like a big reach.
If she was doing BDSM and freaky orgy shit, then wouldn't she possibly be getting double penetrated in the first place?
During the meat of the song. So that by the last dance, it's like, what are we even doing?
I think if the last dance is butt sex, this is a cuck anthem, basically.
Yeah, totally. And maybe the last dance is just like, we're going home so you can sit on the toilet and cum fart for the rest of the night.
Well, and then, then if you say, like, who gave you the eye?
Yeah.
Brown eye, so. Do you find a heroin interpretation at all for this one, Richie?
Yes, I do. Oh my gosh. I think there's a very, very strong case for heroin for this song. Because it would be heroin itself speaking.
Oh.
So like, it's like...
Go on. You think you can do anything else? Well, you can't. Because who do you belong to?
You can't go home with anyone else because your stash is at your home.
Yeah. Meaning
you're
like,
coming home with me, heroin.
Yeah, it's just like all these things that are being described that seem like lovely and positive. You can smile and dance and this music is like champagne.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, no, you can't feel any of it because all that you care about is heroin. All you care about is me, heroin.
Well, he does say in whose arms you're going to be. So
yeah.
It's more like I'm going to be in
like,
your arms.
And like
yeah,
this.
Yeah. Mm. Right.
In your arms. Into your arms I will go. Like that's Lemonhead's song.
Oh, right. I never thought about the Dando song.
That is what it's about.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's completely obvious, and he was a heroin guy. Yeah,
really changed my interpretation of that song. My mind.
Well, we solved
really blown.
We
right
solved
now.
Into Your Arms by the Lemonheads. That's a piece of cake.
No episode necessary.
Yeah, I mean that we don't do songs that are that obvious. Like we all know the Lemonheads did a lot of drugs. That song. Yeah, as soon as you said it, I was like, oh yeah.
I know, that one's like a, stark realization. Nothing is what it seems. Dando has such a beautiful voice, but God.
He's a good songwriter. I was listening to Shame About Ray the other day. It's a great song.
Beautiful man, too.
Yeah. Beautiful guy.
Very annoying, though, if you...
I believe, as our first real rocker guest that you've probably met, Dando.
I have.
All these people. Also, hopefully, we're going to have fucking Kurt Heasley on here.
Oh, really? Week. That's going to be a fucking trip.
Well, you're already a trip. He's going to be like...
Yeah, he's like a different area of the spectrum, of the autism spectrum trip than me. We're both on there, though. So is Doug. You know, all three of us, we're like...
Yeah, Doug's a trip, too.
Yeah, Doug's trippy. Doug's a huge Lilies fan, and that's who introduced me.
Yeah.
Well, most people in the world who've never heard of the Lilies. But in LA, it's quite common knowledge.
Yeah. Don't bother looking up any other versions of this song, because this one rocks and every other one pretty much sucks, as far as I know. Also, hey, I just wanted to throw this out there, that this song is, for me, there's no question that this song was inspired by Save the Last Dance for Me.
That's a great song right there.
Yeah.
Except that's a great song, and Save the Last Dance is like a piece of shit in comparison.
That was my favorite song when I was like 4 or 5 years old.
It's so good.
It features the same benevolent sexism as this song, that's for sure.
Sexism? Oh, because you're... because guys aren't allowed to like... own you or whatever.
Oh, well, I mean, I think it's just you can definitely get there. It involves a little bit of trust, though, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, because I played Save the Last Dance for a friend of mine last night, and she was like, well, that's how I want to be treated. I want to be told to get my ass back and get in the fucking car and go, you know.
Is that like a counter feminist way to be, or is that like it is, right?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just it's a question of because you know, I think any kind of relationship is allowable, is fair, as long as it's voluntary.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And in this video, this Cars video, it does seem like he's really, doesn't seem to have that much respect.
Yeah. The girl's pretty out of control in this video.
He's like a narcissist, because he's like, who's going to pay attention to your dreams? That's what my narcissist boyfriends of yesteryear have always said. Like, nobody's going to fucking care about you like I do. You're virtually unlovable, you know?
Yeah, I think you can slap somebody around, you know, conscientiously, as long as you also respect that person, you know. It's fine. You can do whatever the hell. Two people can do whatever the hell they want, you know.
But when it becomes an issue is things like that master and slave that I saw at the AA meeting, who are like, what about the 7-year-old child who looks at them and says, "Mommy, why is that man walking his girl on a dog's leash?" And she said, "Oh, let me tell you about BDSM, honey." Yeah.
She danced with one guy too many.
Yeah.
She was put on a leash.
Now she's in the doghouse. You know, I think that's really more of a problem of society than it is a problem of that couple. I mean, to be hyperbolic about it, you know, that's just...
I think they're doing it on purpose just to freak people out.
Well, that's for sure.
Because it's like, just do that at home. Like, what is the point of parading your bitch
at
around?
AA, that is so weird.
At Starbucks, at, you know, Burger King, they're doing it everywhere.
What are you supposed to do as a barista? Like, not address the leashed woman?
Yeah.
Do you have to just talk to the boss? Yeah.
And he introduced himself. I'm Master, his name, and I'm an alcoholic. And his wife said, I'm slave, whatever. And I'm an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And he said they've been married for 9 years, never fought once. I don't believe this at all. What happens when they have scheduling conflicts and he's got to go to band practice and she's got a doctor's appointment?
Uh-huh. Well, you can play a game for a certain number of hours a day. And then, you know, I was dating a young lady and she came up with the idea that, like, what if she only eats when I feed her? You know, which I thought was fine. I was perfectly willing to do that. But at the same time, like, then when we were away from each other, like,
she starved,
she would eat, you know. It's like we play the game to a certain depth,
right?
You weren't responsible for scheduling, like, feeding dropping time by her house to make sure she had nutrients,
right?
Okay.
I feel like I'm playing that game with a guy who doesn't know that it's happening.
Because you just said, just don't eat.
Yeah, I eat like once a day, and it's like, well, I have no one to cook for. I'm just going to like eat avocado toast in the bathtub while I take a bath every night.
sounds amazing, honestly. Sounds
great. I post a picture on my Instagram story every night of my nightly bathtub meal. People seem to be really into it right now. Next time you're going to bathe, try it for me, and it might change your life. I get that people don't eat in the bathroom because there's also a toilet and it's blowing shit germs everywhere, but like, just clean.
I hear you. Yeah. I mean, my bathroom's kind of small. I'm not going to, I mean, I might eat like a peanut M&M or something. Yeah.
No, you need the full on tub and, you know,
and some a watermelon, at least one watermelon. Especially
what now? What
is a it? Watermelon. If you have any kidney troubles like I do, you know, they say, or if you get a UTI for a lady, like they say, if you get that problem, a UTI, that's where I learned, thought to do this. You sit in the tub, you eat an entire watermelon, and you pee all over yourself. I mean, and I was like, that sounds gross, but I will eat a watermelon in the tub. Yeah. Half a watermelon.
You gave it a shot?
I mean, I did it last night, but it was a personal sized one. So, and I don't have a UTI. So I was just, you know.
It sounds good though. And also,
it's amazing.
Is that like the least self-conscious you've ever been eating watermelon?
Yeah.
The only downside for watermelon is I'm like, I kind of like I'm wiping my chin a lot.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter in the
whatever.
Tub.
Whatever.
It feels like, you're like Picasso or something like
totally.
That.
Like, I'm like an elephant. That's like how an elephant eats a watermelon.
Yeah.
It's
if only
amazing.
There's like a parrot on the edge of the tub.
Yeah.
And, you know, like there's classical music playing in the next room. And
sometimes I do like the full-blown like pasta, salad, garlic bread. And then,
in the bathtub?
Yeah. And
this should be your new YouTube show or your new Periscope show.
That should be, but then people would see me naked. And I'm
well, you could put on, you know, bathing suit.
That defeats the purpose of eating food naked. Is also incredible. And like, if you drop some watermelon in the tub, it don't matter. It's good for your skin, I'm sure. Although I put that like tahine stuff, that Mexican, and that
get watermelon poisoning.
Yeah, no, I think watermelon's mostly water, so you're good. Although
it's got a lot of leucine in it.
Leucine, what's that?
I think it's a,
I know what you're saying. It's an amino acid?
Yeah, it's an amino acid, leucine. Yeah.
L-U-C-E-I-N?
L-E-U-C-I-N-E. It's got a lot of leucine.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
I don't know. Either.
In any case, I'm sure it's good for you, and I love it.
Where the hell are we with this song?
I still like The Ring. I'm willing to go Sauron on this, I think. I feel like you made it,
you know, the
confidence level of it. And also now I'm like, could Sauron be the ultimate cuck? Was his downfall letting the ring? He just like wanted to watch other people wear the ring.
Yeah.
And he's like, ooh, I'm going to look into this Palantir. He's like the ultimate voyeur.
Yeah. He's seeing all these other people wearing his jewelry. And he's like,
well, that's what he keeps doing. He like hands out rings and it's like, yeah, wear this around. All right. But I own you. The Last Dance is mine.
That's true. He's like Ed Hardy or something like that. Yeah. Like everybody around town is wearing his garbage, and he's like, "Fooled ya."
Well, then now that I've said that, now I'm like, I don't even know if he's necessarily addressing the One Ring. That could be like, you know, the ring he gave to the Witch King is like, look, the Last Dance. When you die, you're gonna dance with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the Dag Daggeroth sock hop.
I'm sticking with butt sex. So this is 150% easy butt sex song.
Okay. So I guess it's a split decision on this one. I kind of agree with the Lord of the Rings thing just because it's so juicy to think of him being like, yeah, you can play around with my ring. I know where it's going to end up on my goddamn finger.
Yeah.
I do see the butt sex thing. Because it is like nobody knows how to butt fuck you. If you just go home with one of these guys, good luck getting butt fucked credibly.
Yeah. Plus, he's in a wheelchair. Like, you know, what better kind of person to have butt sex with? Is a slightly disabled person.
Right. Because of the sort of recipient led nature of butt sex. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Solid. Well, this has been really fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Annie, it's been a pleasure. Again, you can check out Annie's Periscope show. It's the number one live
improvised
music show.
Show broadcast from a moving vehicle.
It's called Band Car. It's number one. And her brand new song and more coming that is out right now, available, I would assume, on...
everywhere fine music is sold and streamed. And the next song I'm going to be putting out, actually, you guys should do an episode about it. It's called Sodomized by Homeless Guy. And okay, maybe it's not about what it seems so blatantly to be about.
It's about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
It's
probably about
The new one that's out right now is called So Bad on Full Psycho Records. And I've listened to it. It's great. Great music video, all that stuff. Also, check out her fantastic podcast called...
Empath of Least Resistance.
It's called Empath of Least Resistance. And of course, her previous band, Giant Drag, huge deal. Annie Hardy, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you. That was so much fun.
Sean Keane, as always, you're a real trooper. I know you already had a long day and you got more coming.
Well, you know, this is about bringing truth about music to the world. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing exhausting about that.
Yeah, you know. Sister Soldier. If you have any cases to add to this, if you want to agree or disagree or point anything out that's right or wrong about any of these cases, please call us. There's a phone number in the show notes. We just got our first voicemail. I'm very excited.
Hey, my name is David, and I've been listening to the whole podcast on this 4-hour road trip, and it's one of the greatest things I've ever heard. You guys are amazing. You guys are just doing great work. And you're treating everything with the gravity I think it deserves. Way to go. My hat's off to you. Bye.
Theme music by Wet and Reckless. Thank you very much. And we'll see you next time on Heroin, Butt Sex, and Lord of the Rings.